Okay, so for today, we're on page 261. So last time we were together, we on Siman Kuf Ayin, Kuf Aleph, we talked about the volume of a person's voice when they daven. So basically, we came out that a person should not daven loudly; it shouldn't disturb someone else. Mishnah Berurah said even Pesukei DeZimra, not only Shmoneh Esrei, but even Pesukei DeZimra, a person should not raise their voice. So the Chaver says in Gimel, second line, Yesh Omrim, some say, Shebarash Hashanah V'yom HaKippurim Muter Lashmi HaKolo B'Tefillah. Some say that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you could raise your voice during davening, Afilo B'Tzibur, even if you're davening with a minion. And the Rama says, V'chei Noagim. And the Rama says, that's the custom, that on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, people raise their voices louder. Mikom HaKom Yaziru Shelo Yagbia Kolam Yosir Midai, but you should be careful not to raise your voice too much. Now, the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Magen Avraham, who says that even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's best to daven quietly. So, simply, if you look at this halacha, the reason why Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you could daven louder than you would during the week, may Mefarshim bring down, that the reason is because on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, everyone has a sitter. So therefore, since everyone has a sitter, or what we call maaser, so therefore, it won't disrupt anybody if you're davening loudly and they could hear you because they have their sitter and they could follow along. Believe it or not, the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't learn it that way. The Aruch HaShulchan has a different twist on this. He says that the whole reason why, I forgot who he brings down, why a person would daven loudly on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it brings down the Mordechai in Yuma. V'nei Mordechai bi Yuma bi iratam, the Mordechai brings down the reason why you would be allowed to daven more loudly on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's not because I won't get mixed up because everybody during the rest of the year, maybe not everyone had a sitter, as we discussed before. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, people had a maaser because it was unusual davening, as we discussed before, so people had to know where they were up to. But the Mordechai, he says, in Yuma says, the reason is, shows him, kidei she'yilmedu zeh mizeh, that the reason why you're allowed to daven louder in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is so that one person could learn one from the other. And we're not worried that people get mixed up. So he says that we're not worried, as I said before, people are going to get mixed up because it's common to have a machzor or a siddur. So the Aruch HaShulchan goes on to explain that based upon this Mordechai, the reason you're allowed to daven louder in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is slightly different. It's true that people have machzorim, but not everyone had a machzor. So what was the idea? We allowed people to daven louder because the person next to me might not have a maaser. So if I daven louder, he could follow along with me because he doesn't have a maaser. So he could listen to me and say the words parroting me so he could daven too. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, based upon that, if that's the reason, so therefore, a person shouldn't daven louder, even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Why? Because everybody has a maaser. So everybody has a maaser, so why are you daven louder? Daven louder so people can learn from you? Who's learning from you? Unless you're a big bald guy, then you think everybody's learning from you. So this way, the Aruch HaShulchan says, everybody's going to daven right anyways. And there's no reason for you to raise your voice because everybody knows how to daven anyways. Everybody can follow along with their own maaser. So therefore, there's no reason for a person to raise their voice. And that would fit in nicely to what the Mishnah Berurah says according to the Magen Avraham. Okay, let's go on to doubt. There's a little more on that, but we'll leave it with that. Chofetz Chaim talks about chazonim who daven loudly to drop their voices, but we discussed that before. Doubt, extremely important halacha. People ask this all the time. You could daven in any language that you want. The Mishnah Berurah explains that this is assuming you understand that language. In other words, you'll say, okay, I'll daven in Swahili. I don't know Swahili. But maybe I have a transliteration into Swahili, so it comes out right into English. But if the language you're davening in, you don't understand, so then forget. We're talking about that you don't want to daven in Hebrew, because maybe you don't understand Hebrew, you want to daven, let's say, in English. So could you daven in English? So the simple explanation is that the Machaber is saying yes. Now, again, the simple way of learning this is referring to Shmon Esrei. You can daven Shmon Esrei in English. We'll see if that's shot as true or not. V'hani mili b'tzibur. That's talking about when you're davening with a minyan. Avo b'yachid, but if you're davening on your own, lo yisbala el b'lashon ha-kodesh, if you're davening on your own, you have to daven in Hebrew. Now, the Mishnah Berurah explains, because if you're davening with a minyan, so Hashem listens to your tefillos, right? That's why we always emphasize that people should daven with a minyan. Because if you daven with a minyan, Hashem himself listens to the tefillah. If, however, you're davening on your own, we'll see why this comes into play later, so then you have to get it to a malach, and the malach will take it up. So who says the malach understands the way you're davening? Maybe your kavanah is off, maybe the language, well, we'll talk about the language a little later. So again, so according to this opinion, if you're davening b'yachidus, if you're davening on your own, not with a minyan, you have to daven in Hebrew. Third opinion is, v'yesh omrim dahani milik shol tsarchav, kigon shemis pala al chola o al shum tsar shlo shiyesh lo v'beso, awal tefila kavua l'tzibur afilo yachid yachola omra b'chol lashon. Some people say, when do you have to daven? If you're davening on your own, do you have to daven in Hebrew? That's talking about if it's your own private tefillah, right? Somebody is sick, chas v'shalom, or there's some problem. So you have to say that in Hebrew. Again, because you got to get delivered properly. But according to this third opinion, if you're davening a tefillah which is set, like Shmon Esrei, which is set, and it's laid out for you, so even if you don't daven with a minyan, you daven b'yachidus, you could still daven in English. Any language you want, as long as you understand it. Fourth or fifth opinion, wherever we're up to, v'yesh omrim de'af yachid k'shol tzarchav. Last opinion says, no, even a person davening on their own, and they're davening for private things, yacholisha v'chol lo'ashon, you could say that even in English, the last opinion says, chutz m'lo'ashon arami, but you can't say it in Aramaic. This last opinion, the Mishnah Berurah says, is of the opinion because the Gemara says that Malachim understand every language, including Aramaic, but they're not nizdakek. They don't like Aramaic shemeguna beinehem. They think it's a lowly language, so don't listen to that language. So don't accept that language. So therefore, according to this last opinion, if you're davening for your own private thing, you're davening at home, by yourself, so you can even ask for your own needs, your own tefillahs in English, in any language you want, as long as you understand it, as long as you don't say it in Aramaic. Aramaic's worse. Now we'll do the last halacha first, even though we really shouldn't do that. Now it comes out, according to this last opinion, again, that Aramaic is on a lower level, so it's very important if you're davening b'yachidus, the Mishnah Berurah says, for whatever reason, that you shouldn't say anything in Aramaic. So for example, the Mishnah Berurah says, you're kum per kum. Let's say you're davening, you're davening Shabbos at home by yourself, let's say, chas v'shalom. So you're kum per kum. You know, it's very important tefillah. That's in Aramaic. So some say that you just say the first one, but you don't say the second year kum per kum. You don't say the second year kum and the Mishnah Berurah, because the second year kum per kum talks about the shul that you're davening in, you're not in shul. And the same thing with the Mishnah Berurah also, it's talking about the shul you're at, you're not in shul. But the first year kumbrakon, some achronim say you could say, but the Mishnah Berurah doesn't hold that way. The Mishnah Berurah says the first year kumbrakon talks about the Rashreg Mitzvasa and the Rashreg Debava, the whole structure, the hierarchy they had in Bavel, which we still we still daven for. So the Mishnah Berurah says, since that's in Aramaic, don't say it. You can't say it. Now, obviously, that would apply to other things also. Well, Brik Shmei, you're not going to say, because you don't have, I assume you're not opening an Aramaic Kardash and things like that. But anything in Aramaic in general, and other things also, it comes up in Slichos. You're saying Slichos B'yachidus, at the end of Slichos is also Aramaic. So again, you shouldn't say that unless you're davening with a minyan, for the reason we mentioned before. Now, Now, so the bottom line is, could you daven in English or any other language except for Hebrew? So there's, later on we're going to get to other problems, that there's problems with brachos. In other words, any bracha, let's say in Shemoneh Esrei, how exactly you translate Hashem's name, how do you say a bracha not in Hebrew? Well, let's say, leaving that aside, there's a long bir halacha here, that the Chofetz Chaim comes out that that you shouldn't daven in anything except for Hebrew. And it's a beautiful bir halacha, the Chofetz Chaim. I don't have time to go through it now, but it's really worthwhile to look at. That the Chofetz Chaim says that we have to understand Hebrew is different than all other languages, and it has ideas that was way beyond our grasp. And on top of that, if you say it in Hebrew, so you're going according to the format of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah put so much into the, when they set up the davening as the way we have it, it's beyond our comprehension. The Chofetz Chaim is a beautiful, very beautiful Ber Halach on this, which is worth seeing. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, some of them were Nevi'im, so what they put into the structure of tefillah is beyond our comprehension. But just to sum it all up, there's also an interesting Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says that when the Mechaber says here that you could daven in any language, the Aruch HaShulchan learns that that is referring to not the set tefillos. In other words, like Shmoneh Esrei. Because the Aruch HaShulchan says, when we're talking about the set tefillos, he goes the other way. He says the set tefillos you have to say in Hebrew. You have to say in Hebrew. Because who has the audacity, he says, to translate these things which are Omer Bruma Ha'olam L'Loshon Laz. That who could translate, again, dovetailing the idea of the mission, the Chofetz Chaim says in Bir Halacha, things that Nevi'im set up, how can you have the audacity, I'm going to translate what they said into English. Now again, obviously we need the English so we know when we say the Hebrew words what it means. That's different. But we're saying actually to daven in English, who gives you the right to change these things which are way beyond our grasp to English or whatever language? So he says, Ein kavanos al tefillah Shmoneh Esrei, ela al slichos ukiyot sabahen. So the Aruch HaShulchan comes out the other way. He says that when we say you could daven something in English, that refers to like things we daven, not your own private tefillos, not Shmoneh Esrei, not the set tefillos, but let's say certain additional things. There are not too many we say in the shul, but let's say slichos. Or it's certain additional things that we say in shuls that are not mandatory. Let's say like Rabbi Prangel was mentioning before, like some shuls say yotzros and things like that. So that you could say in English if you wanted to. But things that are set into by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah or set as basic tefillos that you can't touch. You have to say it in Hebrew. And again, it's also a very long thing. But again, a basic idea that we have to understand is even if you don't understand Hebrew, there's I don't want to use this word by will, a magical, a special thing about Hebrew. And Hebrew is a unique language, but even if you don't understand it, as long as you say it properly, the tefillah goes through. Assuming you have the right kavanah and all that type of stuff, diving with a minyan. So again, so that's the bottom line. That's the way that everyone comes out. The Mishnah Berurah, the Be'er Halacha says you shouldn't really dive in another language. And the Aruch HaShulchan also says you shouldn't daven in another language. If it's something additional that your shul is saying and you want to say it in English, so then the Aruch HaShulchan is a little more lenient. Okay? Stop here for the second.